We're checking in with the community health system in northeastern Wisconsin here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. In recent months, the COVID-19 pandemic has compounded the financial pressure on rural hospitals across the country that struggled with razor-thin margins before COVID. And these hospitals, they're a big driver of local economies, sometimes the largest employer in the area, and they're the access point to critical care for miles around. Do you treat patients in a rural area? How is your clinic or hospital doing? Do you have enough beds and protective equipment for a surge? We're at 800-642-1234. Dr. Imran Andrabi is CEO of ThetaCare with 7 hospitals in Appleton, Neenah, Berlin, Wapaka, Shawano, New London, and Wild Rose, and 31 clinics in 9 counties. Dr. Andrabi, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
All right. What are your hospitals currently seeing as far as patients coming in with the virus?
So what we are seeing in our communities, both in the urban and the rural communities, is a increasing number of cases in the community, pretty much in the entire region that we take care of, both in rural and urban areas. And primarily those cases right now are in the, I would say, 19 to 55 age group. And what we are seeing is a fair number of people that are getting admitted, not as many as you would expect because of the younger age group that is getting infected. But we have, at any given point in time, somewhere between 8 and 10 patients in our hospitals or our ICUs.
How are you triaging these patients before they are admitted to your hospitals?
Great question. So over the last several months, we've put in a lot of different measures that include anything from going on our website. If you're already a patient of ours, then you have a connection to our electronic medical record through what's called MyTheraCare, where we have a symptom checker, where you have the ability to be able to go in and take a look and see if you have any of the symptoms that could be of concern. What we also did was set up what we call respiratory hubs or clinics, both in our rural communities and in our urban communities, where people are triaged and seen by our providers and have the ability to be able to do testing at the same time. What we did was to ensure that we had sort of a two-way traffic, if you may, for people who had symptoms that were concerning to bring them to our respiratory hubs or have them talk to a hotline where people would be directed to the right places. And those who didn't have those symptoms still had the ability to be seen by their primary care physicians and so on and so forth. In addition to that, we also had areas set up outside of our emergency rooms early in the March-April timeframe to be able to triage patients. And today, we are able to see those patients in the emergency room safely as well. But we always encourage people to go to our respiratory hubs first before they come into an emergency room setting.
What is happening at those respiratory hubs? Can you take us to one of them?
Certainly. So we have respiratory hubs, like I said, set up both in our rural and our urban communities. And what happens is usually you make an appointment either through your primary care physician's office or by virtue of going to one of those symptom checkers that I alluded to earlier. You come in. Obviously, you have to be masked at the time. And if there is going to be anybody with you, they have to be masked as well. We discourage people from bringing folks with them just so that we can reduce exposure. The folks in the respiratory hubs are obviously, appropriately attired from a PPE perspective. You get your normal, temperature and vitals checked, and then you are seen by a provider. They go through a series of questions, examine you, and if you then need to get a any kind of testing done, whether it's an X-ray or blood test or a COVID test, then those are performed right there for you as well.
We're talking with Dr. Imran Andrabi, CEO of ThetaCare. It's a not-for-profit community health system in the northeastern and central part of the state. We're checking in on the impact of COVID-19 on this health system that serves an 18-county region. With your questions, are you a healthcare provider? What facility do you work at? What are you seeing as far as COVID-19 patients? And how is treatment going? Join in at 800-642-1234. Dr. Andrabi, I understand ThetaCare had some partnerships with local companies in order to have enough PPE equipment like gloves and masks for your healthcare workers. How much of an issue was accessing this equipment, and where are you at now?
Another great question. Early on in the February, March, April, May timeframe, as you know, getting personal protective equipment was a challenge. I would say it is still continues to be challenging, but not as much as we found ourselves in the situation that we were in a few months ago. And so obviously we looked far and wide, both within the country and at times had to go outside the country to be able to secure PPE. It is also important to note that, you know, when we found ourselves dealing with folks overseas, we didn't always find that, you know, the PPE that was being potentially sold was appropriate. So had to be very careful there to make sure that we were protecting our folks appropriately. That also led us to some innovative and creative ways of working with local community partners, manufacturers, folks who were in other industries who had PPE that was similar to what we were using within healthcare at this time, who donated PPE to us, or, you know, one company, for example, created these face shields for us by virtue of having their company work with us to develop those locally that they had never done before. So, great examples of coming together as a community to develop that kind of a partnership. We also belong to another coalition of health systems called About Health. There are five health systems there, and that got us to thinking together to figure out if there were other ways that we could conserve PPE and make it available. And so started looking at, were there ways for us to decontaminate or disinfect N95 masks in a way that they did not degrade in the process, but were able to be used back again in the healthcare setting, and led us to innovative ways of doing that as well, which then the state of Wisconsin later on developed a system to do that across the state too.
In terms of masks that you're able to reuse, what other PPE are you able to clean and reuse again?
So the N95s are one example. You could use those foot covers or boot covers or shoe covers, whatever we call them. Those could be reused. You have gowns that potentially could be decontaminated. So we keep looking at the possibilities of where we can potentially conserve PPE, not only during this time, but also learn how to do that if we were to get into a situation where there was another uptick in a significant way within our hospitals.
We're talking with Dr. Imran Andrabi, president and CEO of ThetaCare, which operates seven hospitals, dozens of clinics in the northeastern and central part of the state. Have you received care since the pandemic started? How did the clinic handle your visit? What questions do you have about COVID-19 care? We're at 800-642-1234. Back in a minute on the Ideas Network. If you're just joining us, we're talking about rural health delivery challenges here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Federal pandemic stimulus funds have helped struggling rural hospitals make ends meet during the pandemic. The National Rural Health Association told the Pew Charitable Trusts last month that outpatient care accounts for 50% to 70% of rural hospitals' income, and some hospitals have furloughed employees to maintain financial stability. What is your experience as a patient or provider in a rural setting? Is the clinic or hospital able to meet the needs of patients? Are procedures and checkups being postponed, or are exam rooms pretty busy? Give us your assessment, 800-642-1234. Dr. Imran Andrabi is CEO of Theta Care, which has more than 7,000 employees in Wisconsin, and he stays with us. Dr. Andrabi, to offset financial losses to Theta Care, you've taken a 50% pay cut with other executive team members. They took a 40% pay cut. Why did you decide to go this route?
Well, so obviously, as you know, COVID has not only had a tremendous impact on people and families, but also has had a tremendous impact on our economy. And back in March and April, when there was a significant uptick in the number of cases across the country, we were asked to stop doing our surgical procedures that were considered elective and to postpone them or defer them for 6 to 8 weeks. That deferment not only was concerning from the perspective of, you know, impact on people and health, but also from a financial perspective, there was at least a 40% reduction in our what's called net revenue, not our gross revenues. Gross revenues were actually impacted a lot more than that. And across the country, American Hospital Association estimates about a $300 billion loss for health systems and hospitals that was sort of experienced at that time. At Theta Care, we, even though, you know, tried our best to make sure that we continue to serve our community, we still were seeing a tremendous amount of impact from a financial perspective to our bottom line. And that could have been, you know, in the vicinity of between $70 to $150 million in losses. And so that required us to make sure that we created processes and thinking around how to mitigate those losses as best as we could without really adversely impacting our frontline employees to the extent that we possibly could. So Theta Care did not furlough anybody during this time frame or let go of people during COVID because our people are our greatest asset. So in order to offset some of the potential losses and to mitigate it and bring it as close to a low number from a loss perspective, you know, we thought that we as a leadership team had to emulate and role model, and if we were going to ask folks to make a sacrifice for the sake of the organization that has been here for 110 years serving our community, then I had to lead along with my executive team members and all of our leaders, including our physicians and other providers. And I can't tell you how proud I am of each and every one of them who very willingly stepped up and into that space so that, you know, we could protect our frontline employees and continue to provide excellent care in our community.
Well, let's look at the federal stimulus funds from the Provider Relief Fund. They aimed $10 billion nationally at rural hospitals and rural health clinics. What have the stimulus funds done for your bottom line to date?
So I appreciate the stimulus funds, and, you know, we have received some of those funds as well. So not all the stimulus funds actually came in a package that were exactly similar. Some were loans that were given to us that had to be paid back in a short period of time, particularly from Medicare. And then some were stimulus funds. So even with the stimulus funds, there is a significant shortfall between, you know, what we put in to be prepared for COVID, the surge planning that we had to do, all the PPE that had to be brought in, the testing supplies and facilities and all of those kinds of things. And so right now, even with all the stimulus funds, we are anticipating a $30 million loss by the end of 2020.
We're talking with Dr. Imran Andrabi, CEO of a hospital system in Northeast Wisconsin serving 200,000 patients annually. And we're talking about the impact of COVID-19. Have you chosen to avoid necessary health care because of the pandemic? What are your concerns about visiting a health care facility at this time? Join in at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Dr. Andrabi, some health systems have sought more guidance on how to use federal funds. They're concerned about having to return funding if they've already received it, if they're not using it at their hospitals appropriately. What do you think of the guidance that's come down about the stimulus fund so far?
I would say that, in my opinion, you know, everybody was trying to react to the circumstances that we were in, or are in, I should say, particularly March, April, May, learning as we were all moving forward. So there was a lot of information that was being sent in order to facilitate the conversation and guidance, as you would call it, with respect to the funding. And not only was there guidance on the front end, but there continues to be this evolution of the conversation in terms of, you know, how you can potentially utilize the funds, and then if they are not utilized in a certain particular manner, that you may potentially have to give some of the funds back as well. So it is a continuous process. We continue to learn with the agencies. We are obviously trying to do our part to ensure that those funds are being utilized in the appropriate manner in service of our community, and we will evolve as the conversation evolves.
Let's bring in Stacy now in Oshkosh. Hi, Stacy.
Hi.
Hi, what's on your mind?
Just a quick question. In light of some of the financial challenges and cuts that Dr. Andrabi has had to make, what sort of new technologies, treatments, state-of-the-art things have you been able to invest in or can you afford in light of some of the progressive treatments that are happening elsewhere in the country?
And I would assume, Stacy, this is pertaining to COVID-19 treatments.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Stacy, great question. Thank you for asking that. And, you know, part of this obviously is when you are in this kind of a circumstance, you are constantly evolving and learning and innovating as well. So I'll give a couple of examples. On the clinical front, you know, TheraCare has been very much involved on the front ends with, the, for example, utilization of remdesivir. So we are part of that process in terms of treating people in our ICUs. Our infectious disease physicians and our ICU physicians are very much, you know, linked to both national and statewide networks to be able to do that. We are also part of the Mayo Clinic Care Network, so that gives us access to Mayo and all of its innovations and how they are thinking about their work. The use of steroids, the use of ventilators, and the prone positioning, as you may have heard, where people are put on their stomachs versus being on their backs. The use of plasma, which is another, you know, the convalescent plasma utilization, that's been part of our work as well in our work with the Mayo Clinic. And so we have been utilizing all of those possible venues from a clinical perspective.
Do you have enough convalescent plasma for the patients in your care?
So we are part of the clinical trials along with the Mayo Clinic, and as people qualify, that convalescent plasma is made available. We are also working with the folks in terms of our community blood center to be able to obtain plasma there as well. So far, we have been able to utilize that in the appropriate circumstances. The other couple of examples I would give, Stacey, is we actually launched a application that we made available to the public, and you certainly can access that as well. It's called Ripple, which is something that you can download on your iPhone or Android, whichever platform you have. And it really has a lot of information with respect to COVID, along with other health-related things that enables you to be able to quickly assess if you potentially have certain symptoms, where is the nearest place that you can go right off of your phone, that you can get yourself checked. I was talking about the respiratory hubs earlier. And so that enables folks from a population health perspective to have information on their fingertips and be able to access that in an easy manner to take care of themselves.
We have I have to pause there with Dr. Imran Andrabi, who is CEO of ThetaCare. We're checking in on his community health system as part of our efforts to watch COVID-19 and the pandemic evolve. Taking your questions as well, 800-642-1234. We'll pick this up with Dr. Andrabi after a news update on the Ideas Network. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're checking in with a healthcare system operating in the northeastern and central part of our state. On Capitol Hill, a bipartisan group of senators led by Tammy Baldwin wants the Trump administration to provide funding for physician training programs in rural communities to help maintain the workforce. Rural hospitals in a financial crunch may be forced to cut residency programs. And the senators last week called for $100 million from the Provider Relief Fund to go to rural hospitals that train physicians. How is healthcare in your town? Are you employed at a rural clinic or hospital, maybe in one of those residency programs? What are you seeing? It's 800-642-1234. Dr. Imran Andrabi is CEO of ThetaCare, operating 7 hospitals and dozens of clinics. He stays with us. Dr. Andrabi, you were talking there about medical developments and what your health system is doing to stay on the cutting edge of treatments as treatments continue to evolve for COVID. What else would you like to add?
Yeah, I was just talking about our Ripple platform. We talked about the decontamination thought process, all the upgrades that we have had to do from a technology perspective and from a barrier perspective to keep people safe. The other thing I would say that really impacts people in the community is in a very short period of time, probably about 3 weeks, we stood up a very robust telehealth system. There was a significant investment on our part, both from a provider perspective and from a technology point of view, to be able to give access to the people in our community to a video platform to visit with our physicians and other providers. So we stood up about 500 providers in about 3 weeks to make that available in multiple specialties and primary care, behavioral health, just so that, with the COVID in the community, when people were not able to come out because of the safer at home orders and or not being able to physically be in physicians' offices, they could have that available to them. Today, many of our patients actually want to see their providers during this time. And down the road, if we ever need to also use that video visit platform, we will have that available to them as an adjunct and also as a mainstay if needed. That would be significantly helpful for people in the community to stay healthy.
I'm wondering, how are you handling COVID tests themselves? Are you processing in hospitals and clinics or sending them out?
Great question. So both. That has also been a very laborious process, I would say, to be just very transparent, to be able to get all the testing materials available, setting up the process to test with the people, We've set up, car site swabbing in our communities. As you can imagine, it is also very extensively utilizing PPE because we have to protect the person who's doing the test and the person who's receiving the test. So we've done testing internally that we have actually brought into TheraCare. And we've also partnered with Mayo Clinic that does a lot of our testing and some of the other health systems in Wisconsin that are also helping us with that. And then we are also partnered with the state through Exact Sciences to provide testing to the people in our community.
What's your turnaround time for a patient in the hospital who receives a test?
I'll talk about the hospital in just a moment. I would just say that we see fluctuations from a turnaround time perspective given what's happening across the country. And as the spikes happen, the materials that are available or the reagents or the swabs and so on and so forth, are not as easily available as they are at other times. So we've seen our numbers go anywhere from 1 to 2 days to all the way up to 5 to 7 days. And right now we are averaging about 1.7 days overall. Within the hospital, we can usually turn it around in 24 hours or less.
On the financial situation, how long do you expect to have the pay cuts to executives in place?
Right now, our best thinking is that this will continue through the end of the year. And like I said, there is a pretty comprehensive plan that a lot of people are working on to make sure that we can get back on track and not have to continue to do this into the future. So our best thinking and our best plan right now is that hopefully we should be able to get to the other side of this by the end of the year.
Would you be able to get to the other side without having to do any cuts or furloughs?
That is our hope. That's where we've been all along from day one till today. We were very, very intentional when COVID began. A lot of people, and for them, maybe rightly so, either thought about furloughing or laying off people. A lot of health systems have done that across the country. We made a conscious decision that we were not going to do that. And my hope is that we stay steadfast to that as best as we possibly can and continue to work in a manner that we can be more effective and efficient and not have to impact people at the front lines.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with Dr. Imran Andrabi, president and CEO of TheraCare. It consists of 7 hospitals, numerous clinics and related services in the northeastern and central part of our state. Taking your questions as well, are you working in healthcare? Are you a provider? What are you seeing as far as COVID-19 patients? How is treatment going? You can join in at 800-642-1234. Dr. Andrabi, as you were talking in early May, TheraCare started a phased approach to resume selected services. Now that it is August, what do those services look like? Are you still holding off on care in certain areas?
Another good question. So, like I said, early on, there was a sort of a mandate across the country to shut down elective surgical procedures and really keep people safe and the safer at home orders and so on and so forth. Around the May timeframe, we actually, with a lot of people across TheraCare working diligently, our one and only goal was safety of the people that we take care of and safety of the people that are going to be taking care of folks in the community. And under those circumstances, how could we reopen in a safe manner? And we've actually seen a tremendous response from our community. Some folks are utilizing telephonic visits when it's appropriate for them. Some folks are utilizing video visits, as I talked about telehealth earlier. And then a lot of them right now are actually wanting to come in and see their physicians in primary care and specialties and get their diagnostic workup done, mammograms and so on and so forth. So we've actually seen a great response from the community. Our focus continues to be the safety of our people, both in the community and within TheraCare. Whether you are in a physician's office or you're going to a lab or you're getting an x-ray done or you're getting a surgery done, I mean, that is the number one concern we have. And I think we have done a great job so far of ensuring that safety and not letting that be compromised during this time. And we have seen a tremendous response from the community to be able to come in, see their physicians, get their required clinical and health workup be done in a timely manner, which I am really, really happy about, because the more you defer care, the more there is the possibility of potentially either uncovering something that we didn't know or that could have lingered longer than it needed to. So I'm glad that we are able to do this. I'm glad we are able to bring people in safely and see their providers, whether it's virtual or face-to-face, and continue to provide excellent, safe, high-quality care to our community.
We had another call here. They couldn't stay with us, but they want to look at reporting of COVID cases. Wanted to know where you send your data regarding COVID-19 positive results. Do you report cases to DHS, Department of Health Services? How is reporting? How does that go?
Yeah, so we follow the state and national requirements. It does go to the Department of Health. And we are in constant contact with them. One of the things that we also did was set up a team of data scientists within TheraCare as well, who've been working hand in hand with the state and our local public health folks, where we meet on a very regular basis to ensure that, you know, we are sending data back and forth, learning from each other, and making sure that it enables us to be proactive rather than reacting to things that are happening in our community. So there's a very, very tight link between public health, state, Department of Health, and within TheraCare.
Do you find that reporting structure has been operating pretty smoothly because, you know, those data scientists weren't there before, I would assume?
Yeah, I think, again, like I said earlier, during this process, everybody's been in a learning phase. And so when you're starting, you know, things can be a little clunky. But, you know, we've overcome a lot of those barriers, if you may. And now we are at a point where, you know, we are on a daily back and forth conversation with the right partners in the community and sending data out and receiving data. So we are learning constantly and making appropriate changes.
Dr. Imran Andrabi is CEO of a health system based in northeastern Wisconsin. It's TheraCare. Are you in the healthcare profession? What are you noticing as far as COVID-19 patients? How is treatment going? Do you have enough PPE? Have you recovered from COVID-19? What is your situation now? Where did you find support? Still time to talk, 800-642-1234. Back in a minute on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Let's get back to our conversation now with Dr. Imran Andrabi, the CEO of TheraCare. It's a not-for-profit healthcare system operating 7 hospitals in the northeastern part of our state. It's been in business for 110 years. Let's take another call now. Jean is joining us from Stevens Point this morning. Hi, Jean. Hi there, Jean. Can you hear us? I think we're having problems hearing Jean. Let's go to Don now in Wauwatosa. Hi, Don.
Hi, Kate.
Hi.
I am calling because I think that COVID is a wake-up call to rethink the economic paradigm for healthcare. And the doctor mentioned the cuts to executive pay. Before COVID, COVID, healthcare was about 20% of GDP. And if you extrapolate that out, that requires one in five people to be ill in order to sustain the economics of healthcare. And what species, if one in five of them are ill, is sustainable? So the way that the economics of healthcare have worked up until COVID, it just are so way out of whack with other parts of the economy that it really has to go through a readjustment.
Don, thank you. Dr. Andrabi, is this an economic reckoning for healthcare at this moment?
I really, really appreciate Don's comments. And I'll just say that it is exactly the right kind of thought process that we need within healthcare. And TheraCare, for the last many years, has been on this journey to what we call population health. And really, it ought not to be about how do we take care of people just when they're sick, so that you're not banking on the one in five that Don was talking about. But we are actually banking on the fact that we can be predictive, we can prevent things from happening, and we can create value every day. And value doesn't come from just, you know, being there when somebody's sick, but value really comes from how can we go upstream and partner with the people in our community, look at the social determinants of health, impact things like food and exercise and transportation and your living conditions, so that you don't have the downstream impact of ending up in a hospital bed or in the ICU. So we are very much proactively looking at how do we create a system that in partnership with the people in our community, many other partners who are working with us, technology as a leverage point, are in that mode of predicting and preventing so that we can create that value and then be able to bring that value both from a health and wellness perspective to our communities and in the lower cost of care as well. So we talk about the idea of the total cost of care, so that if I have to spend a little few more dollars in primary care to prevent something from happening, that might be okay if I can really prevent a admission to the hospital. And so I do think that this is an opportunity, a wake-up call for all of us within healthcare to say this is not a sustainable model. We can't continue to spend somewhere between 19 and 20% of GDP on healthcare and hope that this will continue to work. And what are the different, better ways that we can create value for people of this country?
I don't want this interview to end without asking you about the namesake of your system, Theda Clark Peters, and what does her legacy mean in this pandemic?
Yeah, that's a beautiful question. You know, you talked about the executives taking a 50% pay cut, and when I was having that conversation with our team members and all of our leaders at TheraCare, we often talk about the legacy of Theda Clark Peters, who saw the need in the community and gave of herself as a sacrifice to make sure that our communities had something available to them, not only at that time back in the early 1900s, but for 110 years and beyond. And so I think of this moment with COVID as another opportunity for us to stand on the shoulders of somebody like Theda Clark Peters and create yet another stream, a legacy of what we would have contributed to her legacy to ensure that, you know, way after we are gone, this health system and this community is thriving 110 years from now.
We're talking with Dr. Imran Andrabi, CEO of TheraCare. Dr. Andrabi, with so many challenges that you're faced with, what do you focus on in your work today and tomorrow? Where do you put your time and attention right now as you watch the numbers tick up in this pandemic?
Yeah, first and foremost, I focus on our people and our community. You know, we have to constantly remind ourselves why we are here. And you just talked about legacy. You know, we have to make sure that we understand our purpose, which is to continue to improve the health of the communities that we serve. And that gives us the energy to make sure that, you know, we are staying at a leading edge, cutting edge of technology, leading edge, cutting edge of clinical expertise and trials, making sure that we have the best talent within our organization, that we are partnered in a tremendous way within our community and outside of our community, both from a statewide perspective and across the country, to be able to learn very rapidly from a lot of folks. We have had tremendous opportunities, like I said, in data science and in predictive modeling that we've been doing at ThetaCare, getting ready for a surge if we ever needed to utilize that, making sure that we can have the resources available to the people in our communities as best as we can to keep them safe. The last thing I would say that I'm very much focused on is prevention. And we have created a coalition called Be Safe Wisconsin. We have 40 partners in terms of both public and private partnerships to be able to enable a thought process of how we can all continue to be safe so that we don't wait for that surge to show up at our doorsteps, but we can prevent that by making sure that we are masking, we are socially distancing, we are doing the hand washing, not touching our eyes and face, and keeping our area disinfected. So those things are critically important in the community, our school systems, United Way, Boys and Girls Club, YMCAs, they are all critical components of ensuring the health and well-being of our communities.
Your hospitals and clinics, they may be the closest care for a rural resident for miles around. And I'm wondering, how do you fend off consolidation conversations? And when would consolidation make sense?
So we've been very, very lucky and fortunate that, you know, we not only get to serve the people in the Fox cities, but we are in the valley in our rural communities. And, you know, we learn as much from our rural communities as we learn in our urban communities. We as a system actually meet on a daily basis, and there is learning transfer happening where somebody in the rural community learned something and did something better than anybody else, and we were able to then spread it through the rest of the system. So we look at ourselves more as a consolidated federation, if you may, where, you know, no one area is superior than the others. There are times where, you know, we have the expertise in the valley where, you know, we can have the critical care and the surgical work and the high-end stroke network and, you know, all those kinds of expertise available, but then also have the rural communities right there taking care of people in the best possible way with the same level of quality and safety that you would get in a Appleton or Neenah.
Dr. Andrabi, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Dr. Imran Andrabi is CEO of ThetaCare. It's a health system with more than 7,000 employees in northeast and central Wisconsin, operating 7 hospitals and dozens of clinics. Just ahead, it is On Point. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. It is The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.